I love the solitude, I love the camaraderie, I love the education, I love the common purpose, a band of brothers in the best of senses. It was wonderful. But then at 7 years, they sent me to Catholic University to complete my theology studies, and I was about to be ordained in 2 or 3 years. And the first day on campus, I had been in this hothouse for 7 years, well, completely in a complete, shelter environment. And I walked onto campus and I looked over, and this is a campus of 50,000 young people. And I go, oh my God, 50% of these young people are women. And I got a taste. And so here I am. Now, yours is the 60-year anniversary, and I was reflecting on that after I got here and was aware of your 60th anniversary. In 1963, I was sitting in a therapist's office who happened to be a Catholic priest, but he was a trained, licensed, degreed therapist. And I was telling him about my conflict that although I had these vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, I had stolen a quart of whiskey and some money from the monastery. I had gone out past curfew, and I had begun to have discussions with women. And after a couple weeks of my going back and forth with him and telling him that on a regular basis, I had the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and he said, perhaps you should leave the seminary and learn to be a Christian before you want to become a priest. Now, that was very poor therapeutic advice, but it was very practical insight on his part, of course. Now, he never asked me about my drinking. He never asked me about my motives. He never asked me about my thoughts and feelings. He was just appalled at the lack of consciousness of this primitive young man who is violating every principle that he ever knew of. Yeah. So I left. At 24, I had no skills at all. No skills at all. And a good friend of mine who had been in the monastery with me had also left. He had a lot more skills than I did, and he was working. And he had a suit on. And we were having a beer, having a discussion about our respective paths after the monastery. And I said, wow, tell me about your job. You look like you're really having fun. I'm a laborer in one of the warehouses, and I'm a member of the Longshoremen's Union, and I don't really like it at all, because I had no idea about who I was or what I had capabilities of. And he said, well, I get to wear a suit every day. I have very little supervision. I go to work when I want. I leave when I want. And they pay me on a regular basis, and I have an open expense account. I said, I want that job. I didn't ask him what he did. I didn't ask him what the company's name was. I did no research. And he said, I'll introduce you to this woman who was from his geographic area, and he knew quite well, and she's in human resources. And maybe you can get the job. And I went in and Mary Catherine Bridget Flanagan. Is the human resources person. And 6 months later, we're dating, all right? Because I got hired. And so then we got married, and on this autobiography that I'm doing, I see in 1968 I have a drunk driving arrest. And back in the day, in California at least, it was like a ticket. I hired an attorney. I didn't even go to court. I paid the attorney. I paid the fine. It was reduced to reckless. There was nothing, no implications, no big deal. And